Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast, and this is the 12th of February 2018. This is episode 154, and it's titled Pruning. Coming up today, I have the usual diary where I'll be talking about what has been happening this last week on the plots. Followed on from that, I have the calendar, and then I'm going to talk a little about how I tackle pruning jobs. But before that, I just want to say that lately you may have noticed there's a difference in audio quality on the podcasts. I'm trying very hard to improve sound quality. I would like to get studio quality, but without a full-on studio, that's obviously going to be really, really difficult. But I'm experimenting with various things. I've recently brought new equipment to improve the sound, which this is being used today for the first time. But when I test it at home on my computer, it sounds really good. I listen in my van at work as well, so there's a bit more quality control. And obviously, the sound at home and in the van is quite a difference. But I'm do take it in note. Any feedback is always appreciated. So let's discuss the diary. I always feel the diary is a bit I kind of want to call it plogging, in the sense that it's an amalgamation of podcast and blogging, a bit like video and blogging is vlogging. So, plogging. Last week, the evenings, it's just been a case of just been watering and caring for things. Not really a huge amount going on. There's been a couple of things that have happened. Firstly, Bear, my brown chicken, she has started laying eggs again, which I'm pleased about. Her winter stop is obviously over. We didn't have to resort to buying any eggs, so all good. And this means that some days I'm actually getting two eggs from the chickens. And it hasn't been a day I haven't got eggs, so that's really good. Thursday morning, I opened the door to the potting shed to check on the quail, like I do every morning. As I opened the door, the cage that had Joan and Betty in them kind of fell into me. Quickly picked them up and checked on the birds. They were fine, although I did notice that one of them had a bit of a bleeding or a cut to the top of her head. I was a bit unsure what really happened here. The cage sat stable. I rocked it. I'd done whatever I could to make sure it was stable whenever it's gone in there. What I believe has happened is that something fell over in the shed that night and it spooked her. And quails, when they get spooked, they fly straight up. And I think she flew straight up, hit the top of a cage, and it was enough to move it and pull it into a precarious position, as well as cut her head. Thankfully, she is okay, so nothing to really worry about. Saturday morning, I headed down the allotment, and at the moment, the allotment isn't having a huge amount going on. It's kind of a case that there's three things and three general categories: build, weed, and mulch. So I started by weeding the asparagus bed. I tidied up a lot, and then I just followed that with a mulch of compost. I've also mulched the rhubarb bed. That needed doing, and the rhubarb is starting to grow. So for this I used well-rotted horse manure and compost, but to get horse manure there I had to walk from one end of the allotment site to the other with a wheelbarrow to get to my van, because I am not taking it down there until the ground dries out. It takes a lot longer to do the work, but I can't get stuck in that mud again. That was a nightmare. I also mulched and weeded a few more trees and a few more beds. Getting a good start on the year, I think it's safe to say. After that, I headed home to basically cut some wood so I can really start making large beds for the allotment. It was a pretty wet day on Saturday. And I kind of thought, if I can get crack on at home with the things that need being built and done at home that are for the allotment, I'm starting to feel a bit behind, if I'm honest with things. So spending that time at home getting the things done, it was a big, big advantage. So yeah, Saturday I cut a load of wood to size. Sunday, I was at home all day. The weather was fantastic, got to say. But the first thing I did was treating the wood that I had cut to size. And it was so it could dry in the sun and I could tackle other jobs while it was drying. My brother popped around and he gave me a hand to put some coloured leg bands on the quail. Now this is definitely a two-man job because quail do not like being handled much. Now I was holding the quail while my brother popped a leg band onto each one. Only took a couple of minutes. I did try by myself, but it was almost impossible because they don't like it. So it was a lot easier with two people, I have to say. Now I've given Joan a yellow band and Betty a green band, so we can recognise who is who. I've popped them into the aviary now with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve do not have any leg bands, so I know they are them. So they're all in the same aviary, which is a lot better for them and for me. Adam was very happy. Straight away he was trying to mate with them. So, yeah. I have to say, as watching them trying to mate, it's quite violent almost to see them mate, because what the male does is grabs the back of a head with its beak while it mounts them. Quite violent. Thankfully, they've all integrated pretty smoothly. So then I started pumping water from my water butts that were full, and I've pumped them into some of my other butts that were empty just to maximise my water storage. In an ideal world, of course, these would be all connected with pipes and things, but in practice that's not always that easy, and it's certainly not in my case. So I just pump the water when I need to. I got a little water pump, drop it in there with a hose and put the other end into another butt, and it works great for me. Yeah, it works for me. I then sowed a few more seeds. Sowed tomatoes, a variety called Marmande, two varieties of sweet peppers, and some lettuce, Winter Gem. Now they are now all in the first propagator, and we will see how they get on. I potted or pricked out some more onions to get those on the go and into a bigger area, so they should be grown quite well. I've actually moved the leeks and the onions into the green, or one tray of onions I should say, into the greenhouse now, and we will see how they get on. Now the paint had dried on the wood that I had prepared, and as some of this wood was actually for the rhubarb I have at home, so I've built a bed from that, which I've then mulched with compost. Now, I wanted to build this edge, but last year the rhubarb stems grew out of the bed and they grew over the path, which passing traffic squished them, and it kind of made it a bit slippery. So I'm hoping just with that bit of wood, just to lift it up, it shouldn't get so hazardous there now. And of course the mulch, everything benefits from a good mulch. I've just used compost out of my compost bins for this mulch, and it's pretty good stuff, I have to say. There might have been a bit too much wood in the mix, mostly the wood shavings from the chickens. Not a huge problem, it was still rot down and stuff, but it just shows I need to add a bit more grass clippings or green material into the compost bin. So with that is the diary up to date. So let's have a look at what the calendar suggests to do for this next week. Okay, it says complete pruning of established trees and shrubs as early as possible before bud burst, and mulch liberally with organic matter. Soft fruits will benefit from a dressing of well-rotted farmyard manure. Plant autumn fruiting varieties of strawberries now, so they will establish during the summer. That's kind of a complete coincidence that the calendar mentions pruning on the same week that I planned to do a little talk on pruning. Although what it says about bud break, personally I've already noticed that there are lots of buds already forming on many plants. So perhaps for me that's a little bit behind. Anyway, I thought I'd discuss a little pruning today. I've been talking about doing it for the last few weeks, and it's one of those jobs I'm a little afraid of doing. But it has big rewards, and I think a lot of people are afraid of doing pruning. Now, this is just going to be a general overview of how I prune. I'm not going to go into every plant, because I will be here for hours. Anyway, pruning, quite simply, is just a case of cutting away undesired parts of a tree, shrub, plant. By doing this, we are removing dead, diseased, or unruly parts of a tree or shrub, and hopefully encouraging fresh growth, which, for our case, would mean we get more food. Now, the best time for pruning can depend on the plant itself. I do find that the majority of what I grow, pruning is best done in the winter when dormant. I just find that way the tree isn't trying to grow or use energy in other ways, when cutting the branch away means its energy is used to heal the cut. Now, of course, there are some plants that are actually best pruned in summer, because otherwise they could get, well, they're quite susceptible to disease if pruned in winter. And cherries are one that certainly fit this category. They're quite prone to fungal attacks and certain diseases that, if pruned over the winter, they could catch them. I did find a webpage that lists the best time to prune many varieties, which I've added to the blog post if you want to find out a bit more, of course. But of course, if you're after a particular plant you want to prune, the best way to do it is a quick web search to find out more. Pretty much everything will be found. Now, when I first start pruning, the first thing I ever look for are what I call the 3 D's. That's dead, dying, or diseased. And I will just cut those away. After that, I would say I would look at what's in the wrong place. So if I've got 2 branches that are crossing, and they may rub together, or if a branch is growing somewhere it shouldn't be, like across a path or something, that will be cut out. After that, I will then look at the plant's certain requirements and particular needs. So summer raspberries, I would prune all the stems that are over 2 years old. Autumn raspberries, all the stems get cut down. Apple trees tend to benefit from quite a bit of space between branches to allow light and air through. I haven't actually needed to do that so much yet, but they benefit from it. I think there's a saying that if you can throw a cat through it, you're about right. Now, I'm not saying go and throw a cat through a tree. Do not do that. But that is an old wives' tale, I guess. Then, of course, is pruning to keep the shape of a plant. That I just do to get into shape. When I had step over and espalier trees, this was particularly the case, and they really benefited from this. And then, of course, pruning to encourage growth. So some plants will encourage more stems to grow from where it has been cut. In particular, I do this with my hazel tree. I cut the stem off, or I cut a branch off at the base. And from there, it will grow several more stems, normally at least 2. And this is actually called coppicing, which is a great method for certain trees like hazels, to get hazel branches or even certain trees for wood. It's probably better than chopping a whole tree down because the tree still lives, but you can still cut off branches for wood to burn. And then my tools I use for pruning, simply a pair of secateurs. I've got a pair made by Fiskars. They're tough and they're comfortable, which is why I like them. And this pair, they will pretty much do most of my pruning. I keep them sharp with a file, keep them well oiled and looked after, of course. But they will do pretty much all the stems and branches. If I do have something that might be a little bit tougher, I've got a pair of ratchet secateurs, and these are great. They allow a bit more pressure to cut through something. What happens, as you squeeze down on the handle, when you get it to the point you can't go any further, you release the handle. The jaws will stay closed where they are, but the handle releases so you can get a bit more purchase, your whole hand round the handle again, and it just gets it that bit further. And once you cut through the branches with these, and the jaws are closed all the way through, they do spring open again, so they're not going to lock out unless you're stuck in a tree, of course. But they are really good. I've got a pair by Wilkinson Sword. I'll add links to both these on the website, on the blog. But yeah, I do find those ratchet ones to be much better for tougher jobs. Anything bigger than this, then a saw would be used, but I've not actually had to do that, to be honest. I just find that by keeping on top of it regularly, it don't get to that size. I mean, I would say a tree that needed a saw would be quite a few years old by the time you needed that. So, yeah, I've not had to. I guess the only thing I had to do was take down a tree in the garden, which I used a chainsaw for, but apart from that, not really anything. Of course, there are saws available, pruning saws and things, which are a saw blade on the end of a handle, and they're quite good at getting into small spaces and things, so they are worth bearing in mind should anybody want that. Now, if I am pruning to remove dead or diseased materials, I just cut it off as far back as I can go. If I'm pruning to encourage more growth, I tend to cut just above a bud. That way the bud will put out more growth and still grow and keep the tree living in and encourage the growth. Quite simple. I mean, it's just look at a branch that you want to cut off, find a bud, which is obviously where the flower or the leaf is going to be growing from, just above that, cut. Simple as that. Well, some people do tend to cover the cut with a sealant. I've never, ever, ever done this. A tree particularly, about plants and shrubs, they've got a natural defence where they will bring up the sap to seal the cut, which is why quite often you see sap in a tree, particularly pine. I actually think this is a much better way using its natural approach. It does it a much better job, in my opinion. After that, it's just a case of keeping a close eye. Normally, I don't really get very little problems. It's a case of just being brave and doing it, really. And I do think that is a trouble with pruning. Particularly, I know I've held back from doing lots of pruning in the past because of fear. It's just a case of being brave enough to jump in. One particular variety that I was bad with was the blueberries that I pruned a few weeks ago. I've held back from pruning those for years, in part because of what I heard, but also I was afraid to kill the plant and not produce any food. But I've researched it now, and they do fruit better on two-year-old growth, so that's what we're going to do. Pruning is a really easy job. It's just a case of fighting through the fear and doing it, certainly in my case. A quick online search for any particular plant and there is all the information I need to know. So I quite often refer back to that before I prune anything. Obviously, I've hard pruned back the rosemary this year, the blueberries. as well as my normal raspberries and stuff that I do every year. So we will be seeing how they get on this year after this pruning. Anyway, that is it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you want to leave me a comment, leave it on the blog at theveggiegrowerpodcast.co.uk or on Facebook page, Twitter, anything else. I'm pretty much under the Veg Grower Podcast on everything, so search for that and you'll find me. Give us a like, tweet, etc., etc. All that sort of stuff. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. So till next week, please take care, and I will speak to you all again then.